Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Thank you so much for joining me for Ag Matters Radio. Robbie, it's been about a year, I think, since you joined me on Ag Matters the last time, and we covered a bunch of topics on that show. Today, I'd like to focus on the Alaska Farmers Market Association. So why don't you start by reminding listeners who you are and what your connection to Alaska Farmers Market Association is?
I am Robbie Mixon. I've been the Farmers Market Director for the Homer Farmers Market for, I'm starting my 8th year. I also run the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub, which we're about to start our 3rd year. And now I am leading the initiative to restart the Alaska Farmers Market Association, which actually almost exactly a year ago is when we had our first ever conference down in Homer, and we brought together about half of the farmers markets in the state, and then this revitalization was birthed out of that.
It sure did. I was there, and that was fun to watch. Robbie, remind me, how did you get to Alaska? What brought you here, and what's your connection to agriculture? Did you grow up on a farm, or tell us a little about that?
Well, I grew up in front of a farm in Georgia, but I came to Homer about 9 years ago to work on a small farm on Olson Mountain called Twitter Creek Gardens. It's run by a lovely woman named Emily Garrity, who got her start farming in Fairbanks, where she grew up. She just had the dream and made it a reality.
Yeah. Emily is on my list of people to have on the show, so thanks for that reminder. I'm going to harass her a little bit before the season gets too busy and see if I can't get her on another edition of Ag Matters. So you've been the Homer Farmers Market Manager for 8 years. That in and of itself is a big accomplishment. Market managers don't usually last that long.
We're hiring some help this year.
Good. Good to hear it. And so the Alaska Farmers Market Association, I have a little bit of a knowledge of that group and what it started out as however many years ago that was, but I'm so glad that you have taken the lead and made the effort to try and revitalize it. So tell me what that looks like and what you guys have accomplished so far in addition to the conference last year.
Like I said, out of the conference, we decided to restart this organization that you actually started in, 2009?
Yeah, somewhere in there. I can't remember. I think it was between children.
We decided to put in for an FMPP grant that's sponsored by the USDA, just to give us some funding that could support a part-time staff person and also put together more conferences and partner with a variety of different organizations around the state to do training and marketing, all sorts of things like that. So this past October, we found out we were funded for 3 years, so we have a lot of great stuff planned. Right now, I'm working with Brad St. Pierre, who is the amazing director of the Tananaw Valley Farmers Market. We've been working all winter to kind of get all of the organizational pieces together so we can relaunch here in a couple weeks with a variety of support for market managers and farmers. So we'll have some definitely be collecting a lot of data this year and the next few years to kind of measure farmers markets growth and the effectiveness of the association. We have some conferences we're planning for next year and the following. We've worked with some the Soil and Water Conservation Districts in Homer and in Kenai to put on some trainings.
Oh, good.
And, and then we'll also have funding to send farmers and managers to trainings and conferences and also to provide some marketing funding as well. And this is all provided through our the grant I mentioned earlier.
Right, the Farmers Market Promotion Program grant that we're super, super glad that USDA continues to fund that program. And just throwing a little plug in there that that's one of those many grant programs that is all encompassed under the Farm Bill and therefore impacted every 5 years by legislation and potential changes. And another reason why all agricultural farmers and those involved in Alaska should fill out their census forms and get that data turned in, because then the USDA determines how much money each state should receive and how much funding programs like Farmers Market Promotion Program should get, right? So shameless little plug there for filling out your census forms, because these are the kind of projects that can benefit from that data. So unfair question. We didn't prep much for this show, Robbie, so I'm going to throw some questions at you and we'll just do the best we can. When I started at the Division of Agriculture back in 2005, there were 13 farmers markets in Alaska. Do you know how many farmers markets we're going to have in Alaska in 2018?
I believe we're going to have between 42 and 45.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just about to put out our market survey right now to get those stats updated. We have a lot of promotion planned this year, so we want to make sure we have everyone's info and we have all the new opening markets so we can plug those as well.
Yeah, that's great. 40-some markets spread all across the state. From, I think, the Tanana Valley Farmers Market is the oldest farmers market in the state. We've had Brad on the show before. He did a great job. I'm bummed that he couldn't join us this morning on the call, but I get it. Everybody's busy. And then, gosh, I'm trying to think of where the farthest south, down in southeast, is there still a Gustavus Farmers Market? Do you know?
I still have them on my list.
Okay.
So I think they're still open. I'll let you know in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And then all the way out in Western Alaska, there's the Bethel Farmers Market, and Glen Allen still has a farmers market, right? And I think Valdez and the Copper River area has farmers markets. There's farmers markets everywhere.
Thank God.
Yes, that's right. Providing access to Alaskans to that fresh local food. And, you know, that the whole know your farmer, know your food movement. There's no better place to experience that than at a farmer's market, right?
That's right.
Yeah. In Anchorage now, we have multiple year-round farmer's markets. I think Alex Davis and his center market, I had him on the show a couple of months ago, and I think he's 3 or 4 years into year-round farmer's market.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And I think it speaks to the need and the desire and people's willingness to seek out local products and support those markets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So quick reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And joining me on the call this morning is Robbie Mixon, who wears many hats down in the Homer community. And this morning, the hat we're talking most about is your involvement with the Alaska Farmers Market Association. So let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts, Robbie. If a person wanted to learn more about the Farmers Market Association, what is the website?
It is alaskafarmersmarkets.org.
With a plural, markets with an S at the end?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, alaskafarmersmarkets.org. And you mentioned that you're currently reaching out to all the markets that you know about. So if a person is starting a new market or is launching a new market or maybe as a vendor at a new market, they should get in touch with you, right?
Yes. And then on that website, there is a contact form that you can fill out and it will come directly to us.
Okay, perfect. And what is your moving forward for this, at least under the cycle of the grant? Do you have a title with AFMA? Are you the paid staffer? Are you paying somebody else or what's that relationship?
I'm the paid staffer.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
So are you like the AFMA director for the next couple of years?
Yeah, until someone else would like to take it over. Yes.
Okay, very good. So market managers should get in touch with Robbie, and contact information is at alaskafarmersmarkets.org. Make sure and get your market listed. And then you said there's going to be lots of opportunities for markets coming up this season, marketing and networking, et cetera. You know, that was one of the things that we found back when I was at the Division of Agriculture, was that all of these market managers seem to be, so busy, number one, that they didn't have time to go look at other markets, experience other markets, learn from each other, et cetera. So I'm thrilled that that AFMA will have some conferences and some networking opportunities wrapped into it, because there's nothing more powerful than learning from your peers and sharing information about how you capture data or how you track vendors or what sort of insurance you have, et cetera.
Yeah. Coming off of our conference last year, the number one thing that people enjoyed so much was being able to talk to their peers and realize that their challenges were not necessarily unique to their areas, but all farmers markets have very similar challenges, and sharing solutions to meeting those challenges was super beneficial. And we also have a lot of those conference sessions videotaped, so you can actually watch those on YouTube. We have an Alaska Farmers Market YouTube channel.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I hope mine didn't make the cut.
I can't remember. I don't think it did, but you sounded amazing regardless.
Well, that's a great resource, though. I assume is there a link to that on the AFMA website, or can you tell us the YouTube channel?
There is a link on our website, but the YouTube channel is just Alaska Farmers Market Association.
Okay, very good. And we, in addition to hearing from market managers from across Alaska, that at that conference we had some folks involved with farmers markets from the lower 48, right? We had Kathy from Minnesota, and then what was the gentleman's name?
Will from Washington.
Oh, that's right.
And they are both directors of their state's organizations. So they, as part of our grant planning, we have them for 5 hours a month to kind of consult us on different ways their organizations have helped farmers and market managers. So we're getting some really great people that have lots of experience and knowing what works and what doesn't.
That's incredible. I'm thrilled that you guys thought to put that into the grant request, because you're right. Hearing from folks that have been doing this for a long time, especially outside, you know, where things are maybe a little bit more advanced, some of those markets use more technology and different resources that just haven't made it to Alaska yet. So that was a great inclusion that you guys thought of that, and that both Will and Kathy are willing to help out AFMA as we get it going again and launch it.
Yeah, the other great partnership we have is with it's a national organization called the Farmers Market Coalition. And they have lots of state members as part of their organization. So we've had a lot of peer-to-peer counseling and talking about their organizations. And they're also, we are using their metrics program to collect our data so we can try and standardize how data is collected around the state, and then we'll have a whole software system that we input it in, and it creates really great infographics and kind of just crunches all the data for you, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, data is power, right? And the more you know about your market and the community your market's in and who's shopping at your market, et cetera, the better you can provide services to that group, right?
Absolutely.
I was in a meeting. I'm trying to remember what this concept was. But when I was at the Division of Agriculture, I was lucky enough to go down to Oregon and participate in the Oregon Small Farms Conference. And then the Oregon Farmers Market Association actually had a couple of trainings that I got to go down for. And that's where I learned about the market counting, the Oregon State University's methodology for counting customers, and then for feedback at markets, you know, the dot surveys and anyway, I was just in a meeting the other day where I was telling them about weather tracking for your farmers market, and how down there in Oregon, I think it's the Portland Farmers Market, the downtown Portland Farmers Market, where they have weather data for the market for like decades. And so they can kind of remind their vendors that, hey, The second Saturday in June is typically this kind of weather. And when it's a sunny day, we have an average of this number of customers. And when it's a cloudy day, we have an average of this number of customers. And just the amount of data that they have is just so powerful, because vendors can use that to their advantage, remind themselves like, oh yeah, if it's going to be cloudy, you know, two times more people are actually going to show up at the market because they're not going to be out on the river or camping or whatever, you know. Right. So it's just so powerful. So I'm thrilled to hear that you guys are tracking some of those strategies and figuring out how more markets in Alaska can start utilizing data.
Yeah. And with our membership to the Farmers Market Coalition, all of our market managers will have access to collecting all their specific market data in one spot, and then it can be shared throughout the state that way.
So very good.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. It's just going to be kind of next level stuff for these markets that participate.
Right.
I guess you don't know what you're missing until somebody shows it to you, and then you go, holy crap, I could be doing such a better job.
Or yeah,
just, you know, more information. It's just key, and it's powerful. And again, you know, when you're trying to get a grant, or you're trying to get more resources for your farmer's market, when you have that data to prove how many people come to your market and how much money moves through your market every weekend, it's so valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we just started tracking, or I wouldn't say we're super on point with our tracking about how much money comes through the farmer's market. In Homer, we measure it based on market coins and estimated percentages and things like that. But once you run the numbers, it's amazing how big of an impact farmers markets can actually make on a community, plus all the businesses around your market. So these are all great things to, like you said, bring up when you're, you know, soliciting support.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's easy to not realize the impact those farmers markets can have. But when you start adding it up vendor by vendor and weekend by weekend and the number of folks that are coming through, you know, we talk about that in Anchorage sometimes. We're all familiar with Arthur Key's Farmers Market, the South Anchorage Farmers Market, and how successful it is and how large it is. I think he's up to over 40 vendors.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and peak summer, he when we've done customer counts there before, there have been days when there's been 1,000 people an hour through the market.
Dang.
Yeah. But then you start doing the math and you think, man, that's so many. But then you think, but wait a minute, there's 300,000 people in Anchorage. So even if there are 5,000 or 6,000 people coming through the South Anchorage Farmers Market on any given Saturday, that's such a small percentage of the total population. And there's so much opportunity for more, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just how you look at it. But again, very powerful. The more data that you have, the more information, and information is power. So one more reminder to folks that if you just joined us, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and chatting with me this morning is Robbie Mixon, we'll call her the director of the Alaska Farmers Market Association, at least for the next couple of years, right? Yes. And Robbie, what else did you want to tell us? I think we've covered most of the bullets that I had in my head, but what else do you want to tell us about the Farmers Market Association? Or we can always move on and chat more specifically about some of the projects in Homer and the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub, if you'd like.
I think the one other thing that I wanted to express as a goal of our Farmers Market Association is to help more markets be able to accept SNAP EBT benefits, which, for those of you who don't know, it's basically a food stamp program.
Right. And so, so I'm going to drill down with that, because we worked on that extensively again when I was at the Division of Agriculture and launched a grant program along with Department of Health and Social Services that paid for staff and time for the market token program to be launched at a number of markets. Again, trying to get more folks access to fresh, healthy local food and being able to utilize their SNAP EBT benefits at farmers markets. Now, we found over a couple of years that only a couple of markets continued that service after the grant money ran out and there was no longer the paid staff person to take care of it. So what are some of the strategies that you guys are going to try with AFMA to get that going at more markets?
Well, right now we are actually working on a research project that looks at all the different ways that markets can get funding to do these, whether it's the Farmers Market Coalition used to provide a grant that would give you a machine for free and pay all your dues for 3 years. That program has been on pause, and it may turn into, may go to a different organization. But we're trying to come up with a resource list outlining the process, outlining how to get your SNAP number. I can't remember the exact title for it, but and getting a list of all the markets that currently are offering a SNAP redemption program, and pairing them up with market managers that want to get something started. So yeah, and we also have funding within our grant. It's not a ton of money, but it would be enough for a small market to get a program started and hire a part-time person. So we're trying to offer a lot of consolidated information, but also peer-to-peer guidance on that as well.
Oh, good. I'm really glad to hear that. It was one of those, I wouldn't call it a failure, because it's not a failure if you learn from it, but that was one of those projects that I was in charge of at the Division of Ag that, when we were done and the grant money was gone, and then we saw very few markets continue accepting the SNAP EBT benefits, it felt like a failure, because we had hoped that after being introduced to the benefits and the utilization, et cetera, we had hoped that more markets would continue that, to offer that service to potential customers. But unfortunately, not so many did. I think the last time we did a check at, when I was at the division, which again, it's been a couple of summers, but there were only about 5 markets that were still accepting SNAP or EBT benefits.
That's about right. Yeah. And we in Homer, we are still continuing the program, and we've definitely had to switch up our booth fees a little bit. And we've had to, we've actually crowdsourced money to match these benefits. So there's a lot of, small tweaks that we could share with other managers on how they might be able to do a program for cheaper than they thought. So,
good. Well, that is great to hear. And I know you know this, but I'm sure that if Diane Peck at Department of Health and Social Services can be of any assistance, that she would, because she was my partner on that project when I was at the division, and she's a huge advocate for continuing those types of resources. So I'm sure Diane's on your list of people to talk to.
Yeah, she sure is.
Yeah. Well, I'm very glad to hear that that's a goal of AFMA, and I look forward to helping in any way that I can with that as well. So anything else, any final thoughts about AFMA before we move on to another topic?
I think we covered everything.
Okay, good. Well, I'm excited. I'm so excited that that you guys took this on, and that the USDA granted the funds to get things going, because I always like to say, I was just ahead of my time, 10 years ago when I tried to launch AFMA. It's really time for it now, and the markets are ready. The market managers are ready. So it'll be fun to watch it flourish under your guidance. So in these last couple of minutes, I think we have 4 or 5 minutes left of show time. Robbie, tell me, what's the latest and greatest with the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub?
Well, the latest and greatest is that we are searching for a new name, because last year we ended up being able to expand into Anchorage.
That's
and as
right.
you know, Anchorage is not on the Kenai Peninsula, so...
Well, I'm not good at math, but I will agree with you that Anchorage is not on the Kenai.
So we are here in the next couple of weeks. We will decide on a new name, and we will be rebranding. We'll keep our same logo and color scheme and all that, but just come up with a name that's more inclusive of places outside the peninsula.
Okay, very good.
Yep, and we are planning to open in Homer at the end of April, and then we will be opening in Soldotna mid-May, and then Anchorage will come on in early June.
Okay, so if folks aren't familiar with the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub, I would summarize it as an online farmers market where you can click through and pick the items that you want, and then go to a pickup location a few days later and grab your basket of goods, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
So, you just mentioned that, and suddenly I had this light come on that I think, did I see something on Facebook that you're looking for input from just the general public about that new name?
Yes.
Okay.
If anyone has a great, fantastic, or mediocre name, feel free to send it my way, and you can send it to Robbie, R-O-B-B-I, at inletkeeper.org.
Okay. So a new name for the food hub, and you guys are launching in the next couple of months. And I thought, had I heard that there's another community considering the food hub outside of the three that you mentioned?
Well, we are adding some drop-off points in Anchor Point and then Nilchik.
Okay.
We're also adding Manwalik and Port Graham, hopefully. We'll get them on board this year as well. That's the plan right now.
Okay, very good. So again, yeah. Just more access to local food and products for more people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Didn't I see something about training for potential food hub vendors? Is that coming up?
That is coming up. We have two planned in April for Homer vendors on the 18th and the 14th. And then in Soldotna, April 12th, we'll have a training. And then we'll be adding more as the spring goes along. So Anchorage, we're looking at mid-May. I'm waiting to hear back on a specific date. But everything will be posted on our Facebook page, which right now is Kenai Food Hub.
Okay.
You look us up that way.
Very good. So if farmers are interested in learning more about how they could possibly sell your products through an online farmers market, they should connect with the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub Facebook page and then watch for that name change. Don't get left behind. and there'll be some trainings provided. And it's just, I've in watching you guys grow the last couple of years, it's been a fun thing to watch, and just another exciting resource for producers that are, you know, looking to expand their production and increase their markets.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Robbie, we are just about done with our time. So I want to thank you again for joining me on Ag Matters Radio this morning and giving us an update about the Alaska Farmers Market Association and a couple minutes about the Food Hub. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you do for Alaska's farms.
You bet. Thanks, Robbie.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.